Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster. Today, Maria Vasquez on platform regulation in Argentina.
Now, what I wanted to tell you a little bit about is that at Universidad de San Andrés, we are now hosting one of the WIPO joint master programs. Our master program is in IP and innovation, and it's a regional program. So this, in fact, which has been going on for the last 4 or 5 years, has built in our, you know, in our system, we actually have a quite wonderful hub of IP and innovation specialists from all of Latin America. So we've in fact formed a center of studies in intellectual property and innovation, where we group these IP professionals and academics from the public sector, from the private sector, from academia, of course, from all of Latin America. And this has allowed us to carry out regional investigations as well, regional research, which is quite, well, very interesting and quite unique, I must say. This wonderful, you know, let's say richness, abundance of experts, you know, of expertise from all over the region. So so therefore, when Professor Holznagel was so kind to give us this opportunity, we of course grabbed it right away, because it is for us a wonderful opportunity to follow some of the research that we have been doing in social media platforms. Of course, our research mostly is from the side of intellectual property. But however, we did take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to look into other aspects of social media platforms as well. So first of all, I thought, well, it's important sort of to start with saying that, you know, the importance that internet access has to the people of Latin America. And I think that this has also been mentioned in the previous presentations. We have, in fact, a 38% of the population of Latin America is still not connected. And as you know, even though there is a huge amount of use of social media platforms, really they center around the cities, as you can imagine, and the rural areas are often without internet access. This had led me to introduce a concept, sort of something that I would say a little term that I coined during when I was a visiting researcher at Harvard a couple of years ago, visiting scholar. It's called the netizen. The netizen is like a netizen, but with, you know, the ñ from Latin America, from the Spanish version, which is, I'm sure you know, the ñ is a letter of the alphabet from the Latin model, and it's and it has like a little tilde, a little hat on the top. Okay, so the idea with the netizen is that there are many, many, many people in Latin America who still have not been allowed access to the internet, as the ñ, this letter, also took many, many years to gain access to the internet. I don't know if you know, but many of our scholars and authors spoke out about this, that the ñ was not on keyboards or not really recognized on the internet. And in fact, Gabriel Garcia Marquez spoke out about this. And I coined that phrase, the netizen. So if you hear it, you know that you heard it here first. Anyway, as I say, there are very deep economic and social inequalities in Latin America, which make it so important that internet access become more widely used. Going specifically to the regulation of social media content, it is really quite a challenge even to determine what the regulation is in Latin America. As you know, that without With the noteworthy exception of Brazil's Marco Civil of the internet, passed in 2014, which is really quite noteworthy. Latin American countries in general do not have specific regulations for social network. Yet there is this idea among policymakers, because it comes up all the time, that the online space remains underregulated, that there should be more regulation. I think this comes from, you know, the lack of understanding of how content moderation works in Latin America, have made that there are increasing calls, not only from government, but from civil society, to have these regulations against, to moderate, let's say, major platforms. However, we know, and has been said by Ashwini and also by Mariana before and Larissa, we know that in our countries that are prone to censorship, it is often also quite risky to take this huge power that today the tech giants have and put it in the state's hands, right? So it really is, as someone mentioned in an article recently, it really is being between a rock and a hard place, right, in Latin America, thinking, what are we going to do with regulation? Nonetheless, there have been developments, and quite noteworthy developments, in courts, in civil courts and criminal courts, in fact, having to do with regulation of social media platforms. So in our chapter, what we have done with some of our investigators, our researchers, is that we have looked at some of the basic issues, and such important issues, you know, the wide array of issues that are relevant in social media are really the big and relevant issues in society, aren't they? I mean, things like censorship, privacy. I mean, these are really the big things that we have to worry about. So we looked at several of the major issues and then dedicated great part of our research to intellectual property, which is our, which is really where our expertise lies. But insofar as, for example, intermediary liability, in Argentina, for example, we have had a very noteworthy case, Maria Belén Rodríguez versus Google. It already has several years. It is a case brought by a TV personality, Belén Rodríguez, against Google for some of the her photos that came out in the internet in some, let's say, pornographic websites. And our courts, and this case went up to the Supreme Court. And what it said is that our intermediaries do not have a strict liability standard. They do not have the general duty to monitor the content of what is generated by users, but there is a subjective, liability. Now, I wanted to go, because that's a sort of older case and quite well known, I did want to tell you about a very recent case, which is by our now vice president and previous president, who is Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner. She sued Google very recently, I think less than 2 months ago, for defamation and the tarnishing of her image and her name and her honor, when in Google's search engine, her name, when it came up, it said her name, and underneath, instead of saying vice president of the nation, it in fact said thief of the Argentine nation. And so she filed this petition, and in fact, she filed, up until now, what has happened is that as a preventive measure, she filed a petition with the court demanding that Google preserve the data related to her name for inspection in the proceedings. This, in fact, was granted by the Supreme Court in the end, because there had been some contrary opinions, but in fact, it was granted. And this may set an important precedent as to the way evidence is handled in cases relating to defamation on the internet. As you know, our chapter goes through many other things, but as I only have a few minutes left, I did want to very briefly tell you about what we see today happening in IP regarding social media content, the content on social media. What we're seeing is, as you know, that the dynamics in the social and in the commercial ambit of these platforms is really a daily use and reuse of content. Often these uses and reuses do not have any commercial nature. They are these memes that are reproduced infinitely, right? And to such an extent. And today, what we see is with our Latin American legislations, what we have is a huge tolerance, let's say, how can I say this, for the illegal. Basically, all of those uses are profoundly illegal, according to our Latin American legislations. Content cannot be used without the author's authorization, of course, unless this use is confined into these very specific exceptions and limitations. And so what we find is that, on the other hand, these uses are not being, in general, they are not being, called out in court. They are not being taken to court. So there is this sort of tolerance for illegal behavior. And many are saying, why not adapt the law to the internet environment, to the digital era? And as you know, the typical limitations existent in our civil law legislations are the limitation on the protection of official texts, of daily news and press information, the protection, of course, on political speeches, legal proceedings, the right to use quotations, which is often, often discussed. But of course, for example, in Argentina, it's up to 1,000 words and up to 8 compasses of music, but only for educational, for very particular circumstances. The use for teaching purposes, but which is also quite limited. Newspaper, the use for information, also used in many of our legislations, etc. I have to say that in our Center for IP and Innovation, what we have done is quite a huge chart where each of our members from different countries of Latin America has made an in-depth research of what limitations and exceptions are existent in their countries. So in my country, in Argentina, we have 5 limitations, the very basic ones. In Mexico, they have 10, for example. In others, 13. But we have this this very, very intricate Excel chart, you know, with all of these different connotations to the different exceptions. And it's really quite fascinating. And we count, this is really something that, is quite interesting in the sense that it has not often been discussed or have been brought together in Latin America. Now, of course, a couple of years ago, when there was the idea of reforming our intellectual property law, I had discussed, you know, with Professor Terry Fisher in Harvard, who does Copyright X, and we have a group, an international group, and I'm so fortunate to be able to take part in some of these discussions. I had discussed with him, as he has helped in many of the African nations in the reform of their intellectual property law, as to the exceptions, correct? And how important it would be in order to have a sort of fallback, to have these exceptions, but to have a fallback into perhaps something more limited than the fair use factors, but a bit based on something, a criteria a little more broad, a little more flexible than our very limited exceptions. I had discussed this with him, which is something that he had introduced or that he had brought forth or suggested in some Latin, in some African nations. However, in Argentina, for example, and perhaps, you know, many of you from civil law countries will understand, fair use really is considered so uncertain and so, you know, that they were quite appalled that I would even suggest such a thing. And I was suggesting a very, very limited version of this, but they were very appalled by this. Now, however, you know that, of course, as signatories to the Berne Convention, we do, of course, have the three-step rule, which says that reproduction of works is permitted in certain very special cases, right? Certain special cases that do not conflict with the normal exploitation of the work and do not unreasonably prejudice the legitimate interests of the author. Now, this, in fact, many have said that in fact, this comes from an Anglo-Saxon background. This three-step rule does come from a sort of Anglo-Saxon tradition. So, you know, I try to say that this is, you know, in our legislation somehow. Anyway, I will start finishing, and because I know that we are near the deadline of my little presentation here. But I would like to just say that. What we have, what we are discussing is the, and I'm sure many of you know this, in the WIPO copyright treaty, as you know, the Article 10 once again rehashes this three-step rule. And in the agreed statement concerning Article 10, and that is in the agreed statements among the signatories, I think it's quite interesting that it states that it is understood that the provisions of Article 10 permit contracting parties to carry forward and appropriately extend into the digital environment limitations and exceptions in their national laws, which have been considered acceptable under the Berne Convention. So they are similarly permitted to devise new exceptions and limitations that are appropriate in the digital network environment. So I just think that, you know, this is an important, this agreed statement, which many authors have written about. And in fact, I'm thinking specifically of Geiger, Christoph, and Gervais, who I've read very recently, and Ricketson as well. They have all commented on the fact that signatory parties should be able to devise new exceptions and limitations to the digital network environment. And this is a bit of the kind of study that we are carrying out in our center. So I'll leave it right there. And I do want to thank you once again. It's such an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me to this workshop today. And especially thank you for inviting my researchers and I into this new volume that you are publishing. It is really an honor and a privilege. So thank you very much, Professor Holznagel. Thank you, Judith. And to all of you, thank you very much.
That was Maria Vasquez on platform regulation in Argentina. You've listened to Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster.